Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
You guys ready this morning? I'm going to share some things with you. You know, when there's a... Luke, when you're getting ready for the World Series or the big game, the coach always takes you back to the basics, doesn't he? Because if you mess up on the basics, the big game's going to be a loss. And it's kind of what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to share some things with you. I spent the week in Dallas at the lighting show and with two of my other employees, and Ron and Stephanie held down the fort here. And one of the things that Tony did is I kind of put him in charge, and he blocked off 2 hours every morning for me to write. I got books I'm supposed to finish, and if you don't, schedule it. And so he literally gave me the time, and I started writing and finishing. I'm trying to finish the Rape to Righteousness book, and I'm pretty well got it done. Publisher's kind of halfway happy with me in my laziness. I was slacking something, whatever. But then I'm working on The Weapon of Innocence. So I get one project finished, the redo of my first book. The second book is pretty well finished. I'm about 60-70% done with that book, and I have a dream Tuesday night, and it's a download. You know, my father passed away 3 weeks ago, and I get a download and a whole nother book. And I'm like, you know, God, what are you doing? You know, I get these great titles with 9 chapters and little headings. Marianne's like, I know how you get stuff. And the title of the book is Your Hero, My Father, The Journey of a Righteous Man. And it's an absolute download. I mean, I'm like, you know, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and text, and he says, write it down. And I'm like, okay, I write it down. So I got books coming out of my ears, and I still got to finish Jesus, the Man of Rebellion. That's a great one. And I'm taking my 2 hour obedience, and I'm sitting down in the hotel in the corner with a cup of coffee, and I start writing. And you're pulling from your history. You're pulling from your relationship. You're pulling from your walk with God. And I'm sitting here bawling. I got tears flowing. People walking by like, okay. You know, but I'm weeping with gratitude of how God's been so gracious to me. And at the same time, I'm writing some things that I believe are life-changing, absolute encounters and revelations, and I'm getting these accolades from preaching some of this stuff in conferences that is changing people's lives. You know, 4 and 5 months later, they're going, this is good. And so there's a mandate to do this, and I needed to pull some old information because of my history. And I came across the basics is love. And you go through and you ask yourself, when was I introduced with love? And it was 1993. August of 1993. I knelt down at a pool table. And I said, if you're the God of my mother, she said you had power. If you have this kind of power, I need a new heart. I'm a liar, I'm a thief, I'm a cheat, I'm a whoremonger. And if I'm not going to make another commitment to you without a new heart. It was the most honest prayer I could have prayed. Been in church my whole life, but came to the conclusion I didn't know God. And lightning went off in the room, and out of this bolt of bright lightning walked Jesus. And with these piercing eyes of love, he pierced my soul, and he says, Charles Layton Coker Jr., today you choose. And he held his hand out. You put your hand in my hand, I'll never leave you, forsake you. Or when he pointed, I'll let hell have its way with you. And I realized that he loved me enough to confront me in my condition so he could literally save my soul and restore me. And I was confronted with a love that was violent. I mean, God's love is violent, especially when it clashes against your understanding of love. And it changed my marriage. I mean, Susie was in the middle of a divorce. She didn't like my love. She didn't want my love. But until I had met love, I didn't know how to love. And that night, he gave me a new heart because I met love. And you could have all of the revelation. I operate in a fairly high prophetic gift. I can be revelatory. I can read your mail. I can tell you what God says. And that means nothing if you don't understand love and walk in love. Oh, I did something really cool. See? If you can't love by your standard, you cannot live by it either. Think about that. If you're living outside of love, you are in turmoil, you're in confusion, you're in division, and God won't let you stay there. When the foundation of love supports the archway of honor, then the door of God's favor opens to you. Some of this is 25-year-old revelation. I turned 60 years old yesterday. That was a milestone. There's people out there that know me and never thought I would see that. So I did a short inventory. Where was I when I turned 50? I was in the middle of a bankruptcy. Had no clue what God was doing with my life. He took me out of business, put me into nothing but ministry for 4 years, and I starved to death. I became a nonprofit prophet, and that stinks. But he had to take some things out of me to put some things in me. Even though I knew what love was, I didn't know how to operate in some of his favor because I was a doer instead of a receiver of his love. And so he had to put me in a position to where I had to learn to trust God and not the work of my hands. I didn't say sit around and be lazy, but who's your source? And I had to learn that. And listen, if God were not a Trinity, God could not be agape, since agape requires another outside of oneself to be the object of its faithful affection and comprehensive self-giving. Thing kept going. See, this is why it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're one with three different personalities, but they never clash. And we can't get along with our neighbor. We can't get along with our children. We can't get along with our spouse. But if he's living inside of us, if the Trinity is inside of you, you have three different voices of God. That went over well. I have learned in my walk to know when God the Father is speaking, when I'm arguing, debating with Jesus, because he likes to wrestle a little bit, and then the quiet, soft, still voice of the Holy Spirit The Holy Spirit comes to me in a suggestive form. Hey, that would be good. Hey, don't do that. Then Jesus would be like, did you not hear him? Yeah, but I don't want to. I think you really should, Chucky, because I'm about to knock a knot on your head. Okay, that's my, Jesus is my elder brother. Brothers can fight. If Jesus is my, brothers prepare you to go to war. So I could debate and wrestle with Jesus in a dimension that when I hear the Father speak, it's like, yes, sir. It's not negotiable. It's kind of like, I can kill you. Or I can love you. Which one do you want, Chuck? Even when I kill you, it's my love. So what I'm saying to you is this love thing, it has to, if God is love, it has to come in the form of the Trinity. Otherwise, it would be so black and white, and there would be no excuse for you. And there'd be no room for grace. If God was a solitary being, he would be self-love. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. Three unique individual alive to one another in true love. Agape, it's number 208 in the lexicon. Why have I got to do this five times? Click, click, click. There we go. What is love? God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Dude, is that just a... If you don't love, you don't know God. Is that just a good, blunt statement? There's no negotiating. And so, in other words, if love is our standard, there's no other option but love. If you say you're a Christian, if you say God lives in you, love is the absolute. God is love. John 4:16, 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God. Okay, he who abides in love abides in God. Don't tell me you abide in God and you don't love. You're a liar. Abides in God. And God in him. Listen, it's a two-way street. So what happens when you get sideways with somebody and you don't want to love? You better pull on the Mr. Love on the inside of you. And listen to that still small voice. Or maybe wrestle Jesus for a while. And then figure out, am I going to manufacture this out of my belief system of I'm right? Or am I going to walk in love? Hate is what love is not. I'm drawing some straight up lines here for you. Hate is what love is not. Definition of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. Love is patient. A little radio silence will help some of you. Love is patient. Okay, if you study scripture, it says, let patience have her, female, feminine side, let patience have her perfect work in you. You're not going to have patience if you can't hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. The one who gives you the power, the empowerment to love, also gives you the empowerment to be patient in love.
Yes, yes.
Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Is not proud. We went to the biggest lighting show there is, and some of my competitors and people I've known for 25 years were on the airplane there. This guy tried to hire me years ago, and I said, listen, I can't work for you. You're a certified horse's patoot. But he's probably one of the smartest guys in our industry. And He walked into the Dallas market and lost a $15 million line. Our industry went, holy moly, what the heck? And if I heard it once, I heard it five times. Well, he's just full of pride. He needed to lose it. Does not boast, is not proud. It is not rude, is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Oh, man. I need more love. It keeps no record of wrong. Listen, it keeps no record of wrong. See, this is where I found this message, because I'm working on the book, Weapon of Innocence. See, if Jesus, if the Old Testament says that he became our atonement, he gave us forgiveness of sin. Isn't that what it says? But that's on this side of the cross. But on the finished work of the cross, he became your sin and declared you innocent. Hey, man, I forgive you. And then she says, of what? Oh, of this and this and this and this. Forgiveness has a record. The finished work of the cross and walking in love doesn't hold the record anymore. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. We're sitting in some pretty high-powered people's entertaining, and this guy's name comes in, and I just said, listen, I said, I feel sorry for him. I said, I got up and prayed for him last night. Why would you do that? I said, do you know how painful it is for God to publicly rip your heart out because you're full of pride and everybody sees it? I said, he's loved by God, and I am praying for him. And they thought I was crazy. He's my competitor. And I looked at this one guy. I said, I guess you've never had a real public failure, have you? He goes, you have? I says, yeah, I'm writing a book right now, Rape to Righteousness, Redeeming the Bride of Christ. Not only was I raped, I did rape. My wife got pregnant. I had to marry her years later, and I had to learn to redeem it. And I said, I know public humiliation. But Jesus was on the cross, and he was naked. He did not have a loincloth on him. And in his culture, that was the worst form of shame and public humiliation. He didn't just take your sins. He took your shame and your public humiliation. And there is no sting in my history. But when I see somebody that is being stung because publicly these looks like he's a failure, publicly people are going, yeah, it's about time. Man, if I'm not careful, I'll miss what love says. One guy goes, oh, that's pretty powerful. The other guy says, yeah, that's really good, but if you take his lines, he'll cut your throat tomorrow. I'm like, well, you know, I am competitive. I want what's mine. I want to keep what's mine. But you can still be competitive in love. You can still be competitive. See, this part, so many Christians get into love and they lose their edge. Oh, I'm just going to love and let God provide. No, get your butt up and be competitive. Do business. Make money. He said, go have dominion. Yes. Dominion is not milk toast. That's right. Love is not milk toast. No, I don't know who that was for. Maybe me. It always protects. See, when I was protecting this guy's reputation, when everybody was going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, I have people that work for me who used to work for him, and they were happy about this. Not on my watch. You don't work for me and be happy about someone else's failure. It always trusts. Oh, wait a minute. It always trusts? If I'm full of love, I'm always going to trust? Oh, well, I, what do you do with that statement? No, you trust God in love. And if God says you go ahead and you continue to stay in relationship with him, do you trust me that I'll protect you? Do you trust me that even if you get stung, I'll heal you? Trust me that if I'm asking you to get burnt, it's for their healing. Are you man enough? I want to be like you, Jesus, but don't hang me on somebody else's cross. Don't let somebody else do me wrong so they can get healed, because, you know, if you wound me again, I'll be mad at you forever. Love always hopes. It always perseveres. Someone said to me, what is the greatest attribute your father gave you? I said, you know, he took the quit out of me. He wouldn't let me quit. What he was doing was perseverance. I ain't a quitter. Sometimes I should quit, but because I'm not a quitter and I hate quitters, I stay into things longer than I should. Love never fails. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Do you realize that is what is on the inside of you if you're a Christian? So as I'm trying to research this for the book, I go back to the basics. I'm like, wow, I should read this more often. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrong. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Why did I change the word from love to God? Because you think you can. Oh, I serve God, and you act like a horse's patoot and mistreat people and think God's okay with it. But God is love. So I think we just throw that word around real loose. But God is patient. God is kind. God doesn't envy. God doesn't keep a record of wrong. Thank God he doesn't keep a record of wrong. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. God always perseveres, and God never fails. Hear me? Change a couple more colors there. 1 John 4:16, for we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Charlie is patient. Here, put your name in it. Let's do it. Charlie is patient. Make a declaration. Put your name in there. Charlie is patient. Charlie is kind. Charlie does not envy. Charlie does not boast. Charlie is not proud. Charlie is not rude. Some of you couldn't say that. Charlie is not self-seeking. Charlie is not easily angered. Susie couldn't say that. Charlie keeps no records of wrong. Charlie doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Charlie always protects. Charlie always trusts. Charlie always hopes. Charlie always perseveres. Therefore, Charlie never fails. Wow, does that change that scripture?
Yes.
You should really write that out and put that on your bathroom mirror and realize this is a declaration of what lives on the inside of you. So then when somebody has wronged you, listen, we actually had a situation where somebody was doing us wrong, and Tony that works for me is the most easiest going guy in comparison to me, and he was hot. Woke up the next morning, we shared the room, and he goes, I'm in trouble. Why? I said, my first thought was this guy's name. I'm like, yeah, we don't need to be on the same page. We hold records of wrong. And you and love is the only way you're going to win that one. Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second of this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Commandment. Hello, not a suggestion. Commandment. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. It's kind of like when I taught my dad the baptism of innocence, and he said, yeah, I got it. I said, really, can you prove it? Well, some things you do by faith. I said, no, Dad, if you can't give it away, you really don't have it. Can you, because he was holding one of my niece's record of wrong hostage, and he had become bitter. I said, can you declare her innocent? And he manifested. But then he cried. And he chose to. At 92 years old, he chose to. Wrote a letter of forgiveness. Wrote a letter of debt cancellation. Wrote a blessing from a grandfather to a granddaughter. And at 93, when I buried him on his 93rd birthday, I can tell you he died in peace with every family member. Because he learned that he had innocence and he gave innocence away and he blessed somebody that he had been holding a record of wrong for 4 years. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. My command. This is my command, love each other. This is the message you heard from the beginning. You should love one another. Yeah, so I'm reading this in Dallas, Texas, and we're doing Uber drivers and Lyft drivers, and I get sarcastic, and it challenges me. Huh? What the heck is this guy saying? He don't speak my language. He's got a turban on his head, and if he does this a la Octobark stuff, I'm going to stab him. And I'm thinking all this stuff. But God, I'm supposed to walk in love. He said, love is an action. Why are you irritated? Because I don't know what he's saying, and I need to get here. And translator. We have a common language. So is it okay not to love when you're frustrated? Is it okay not to love when you don't communicate well? I tell you what, he started driving. I started asking Mr. Love to protect me. That guy was crazy. But what I'm saying is what excuse was I looking for? My frustration, my inability to communicate? This is the message you heard from the beginning, Charlie. We should love one another. Even the guy with a turban. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another. He who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Fulfilled the law. Love, really, that's what I prophesied to him. Listen, I can give him scriptures at tattoos. God doesn't like it. That's in the law. And if I decide to love him, there's no criticism against him. But the problem is that we don't want to walk in the law of love. We want to use the law not to love. And we call, we know God. Yeah, you really? Does that make sense? I'm sorry for putting you on the spot, but it's the only billboard I have this morning. Love does not harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the, listen, love is the fulfillment of the law. What did Jesus? Jesus finished the work of the cross, John chapter 20. He has all these crazy disciples who thought that they were going to have this great place because Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman Empire, but it was a different kingdom than what they thought, and they thought everything was a failure. Jesus walks through a wall, whew, said, peace, 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 be still. And he says, have you received the Holy Spirit? Oh, what are you seeing? They walked with Jesus without the power that you actually have. They walked with Jesus for over 3 years without the Holy Ghost in them and did miracles, cast out devils, and we complain. So he walks, and he goes, breathes on them, receive the Holy Spirit. So what was on the outside walking with them as their shepherd and their teacher and the rabbi was now living on the inside of them by the Holy Ghost. And then he makes these statements. Hey, whosoever sins you forgive, they'll be forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they'll be retained. Yeah, that's love. See, I believe when Jesus made statements on the other side before the crucifixion, he says, and greater things will you do? The greater things is you didn't have to get publicly hung on a cross to forgive sin. I'm going to put love inside of you that will cover the law, that will cover the failures, that will cover their nature, their sin nature, and explain that their sins are forgiven. You getting this? Yeah. Galatians 5:14. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh. Who? As who? There's the problem. Until you let the Father reveal the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit and love you like I did when he walked through the wall, and I had never seen love like that. I never felt love like that. I didn't know how to love. Until you've been loved, you won't give love. Until you've been forgiven, you won't give forgiveness. Until you've been empowered, you won't empower somebody else. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, and then we did it in worship. There's a scripture that says God won't share his glory with none other. You're not a none other. You're a son. He shares his glory with you. Why? So you can give it away. So you can give it away. James 2:8, if you really keep the royal law found in scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. The word perfect in the Greek is teleio, to complete, to accomplish, carry through to the end, bring to a successful conclusion, to reach a goal, fulfill, bring to maturity. Love will bring you to maturity. It's called a perfecting. Listen, we step into the pool of love, but we haven't been submerged yet. We haven't been pickled yet. We haven't been engulfed yet. It's a process. John 2:5, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made perfected in him. To this we know we are in him, made complete in him, to made perfected in him, to make complete in him. Which one do you want to use? Same word. No one has ever seen God, but we love one another. God lives in us, and his love is made perfect in us, or complete in us, or maturing us. It's a process. I think I hit my button too many times. Listen, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So when you're walking in the flesh, it ain't love. But when you're walking by the Spirit, it's love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. If you can walk in love, this is the fruit of that, and nobody can hold it against you. If I choose to love you, there ain't a dang thing you can do about it, except be frustrated, because you're going, why does he love me? Because you have your own record of wrong. You have your own record of wrong, and I shouldn't love you. If self-criticism worked, I'd be perfect by now. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Romans 5:5, the hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. See, listen, you can't tell me he doesn't share his glory, because that scripture wouldn't be true. Which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. From glory to glory, we are being changed into the image of Jesus. For we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. I don't care if you can prophesy to the Pope. I don't care if you can raise the dead. I don't care if you can heal the sick. I don't care if you can interpret dreams and have information. If you're not going to filter it through love, you're wrong. You're wrong. I was asking God, we got Josh coming. We got the conference in August. It's all good, great stuff. I've been pushing for Chad Nichols to get healed. I've been praying, interceding. This thing with him baffles me. 4 years ago, his sugar would sky, 1,000, 1,200? For years, that was... his sugar would just go crazy, and they accused Wendy and Louie of not taking care of him and not giving him insulin and all of that. And then all of a sudden he goes clean, normal, functions for 2-3 years? 3 years. Now his sugar crashes. And they accuse him again. They're bad parents. They're not doing this, not that. And we're going, no, wait, whoa, time out. And we're saying, God, heal this kid. This is not the gospel that I read. This is not the gospel that I read. And so I'm reading this on Wednesday. And he says, why don't you quit praying for his healing and let me reveal your love to him? Let me do the healing. Elizabeth Black, another back surgery. Miriam, we got people sick. We got people in the hospital. We got people that are just walking around injured. Yes. I'm going, God, this is not the gospel I read. Uh-huh. He says, don't take works as your pressure. As the leader, I'm going, no, this shouldn't be. He says, don't take the works of the Spirit as your pressure. You walk in love. Amen. And the works will follow.
Yes.
Come on, God. Yes. Are you telling me that your compassion is the attraction to the miraculous? Real love attracts God to do what you and I can't do in the natural. Real love heals marriages. Real love manifests deliverances and healings, bondage breaking. That's what real love does. And I think this morning, that's why during worship I was just kind of weepy. Do I need a baptism of power? No, I need a baptism of love.
Yes.
The power will come. The deliverance will come. Yes. Salvations will come. Yes. Stand to your feet. This is one of the most basic messages on love. A lot of scripture, correct? You agree? Put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, examine me. Expose the areas where I'm holding records of wrong. That I get easily angered. And sometimes I'm rude. Not patient. And I'm asking you to change me. Teach me to love my neighbor. But teach me to receive your love first. Because I want to cancel the legalism of the law that was designed to show me who you are, what you've accomplished. Empower me, Lord, to be like you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.